And while we were there at Cathedral of Praise there in Manila, Philippines, Pastor David and Bev Summerall, they told us, they said, be sure when you get back home to say hi to Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols, because we love them very much. So your pastors, they are known worldwide. They really are. And here's what's so cool. Their testimony, their integrity, their character precedes them. Everywhere that we go, you never hear one negative word about Pastor Bob and Joy Nichols. Not one. Not one word. So you should be very proud. Amen. I'm going to let my wife share just a couple of things here, as long as she wants to, and then I'll play cleanup. How's that?
I just wanted to greet you tonight. I never get to do this because I'm always over at the keyboard, but I just wanted to tell you what a joy it is to always come back to Calvary and to be with the family here. We feel like we're part of the family now, and it's a joy always to come. And I wanted to say, before Pastor Joe begins to tell you some of the testimonies, some of the things that have been going on, I just wanted to let you know that, you know, you're going to go, wow, those are awesome. That's so awesome. But, you know, the most amazing thing is that you have a peace because you sowed into our ministry. This church has always been so gracious and so generous to sow into the ministry that God has given us. And so, you know, it was your gifts. It was your seed that took us. And so, you know, part of the harvest and part of the testimonies that we share and tell, you know, you empowered us, you enabled us to do that, and we're so grateful for that. But I just want you to realize that you have a part in it. And just to encourage you and to love on you tonight and to say, you know, what a great church this is, what a great legacy this is, and we're honored to be here and just do our part, whatever that is. But I just wanted to drop in your spirit tonight. This is not a message. This is a word that the Lord gave us at the beginning of the year. He always gives us something for every year. It's like toward the end of the year, he speaks a word to us and he encourages us as we go forward into the new year. And back in December of last year, the Lord gave us four words. And the first word was His purpose. That God, he is like, he just wanted to remind us of His great purpose, that He hadn't forgotten about us, that He wasn't through with us, but that there was a purpose for the ministry that He had called us to. And you know, anytime you go through transition, and I speak this, and I believe I speak it to you prophetically, because anytime you go through transition, you know, sometimes you begin to wonder about the purpose of God and about, you know, Lord, well, are you done with me? And are you through with me? And do I have anything? And as we went through our transition in 2011, 2012, you know, we kind of looked at one another and said, you know, God, what is there anything else? Have we done everything you want us to do? Have we said everything you want us to say? Must we just ride off into the sunset, you know, and say it was a good ride? And God said no. In the end of 2013, He said, don't forget, the purpose is this. And he just assured us that His purpose for our lives was awesome, and that He had called us, and that He had quickened us, and He had enabled us, and He had given us words to say. And I say that to you, Calvary, as you look into 2014, the purpose, you're still here. There is a purpose for this church. There is a purpose for this church. And if there's a purpose, you can rest assured there's a plan. You can rest assured. You can rest assured, God told us, He said, not only do I have the purpose for you, I also have the plan. I've got the master plan. And I believe for this house, 2014, the plan, 2015, the plans of God are going to be big. They're going to be huge. You're going to have a far reach. You're going to reach inside this city and even greater. But I believe you'll reach even into the nations of the world in a greater way, and impact the nations of the world in a greater way. Because of God's plans. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to give you hope and a future. And so those were the first two words God gave us. And then He said, not only is there a purpose for you and do I have the plan for you, but He said, I want you to know you're going to be on my path this year. And I say to you, church, in this coming year, God has a way. God has a way to walk. God has a place for you to go. And God, I tell you, every morning this year, as we've gotten up and we've held hands, we say, Lord, order our steps today. Take us to the places that you want us to go. Take us to the people that you want us to speak to. Lord, I know some of the places will be big and they'll be famous and they'll be wonderful. And some of them may just be small and it may just be a few. But God, order our steps. We want to be on your path. Let me tell you something. You want to be on God's path. You know what? Because your path will lead you astray. You'll get all kind of sidetrack going on and all kinds of different little rabbit trails and all that kind of stuff. But God's path. God's path. That's the place. That's the place you want to be. And man, for this year, we've seen God. God's path this year brought us to Calvary Cathedral. God's path for the cruises this year brought us to Calvary Cathedral. I wouldn't have never thought of that. In January of last year, would have never even thought of Calvary Cathedral. And yet God's path brought us here. God's path, I'll tell you what. His path. You just need to walk His path. You know, sometimes the path is broad and it's awesome and it's powerful and it's wonderful. And sometimes on that path, you just almost got to turn sideways. Just to get, because it just seems like that path narrows way down and you can just only kind of turn sideways. But you're still on that path. God's path. And the Lord said, I'm going to take you some places this year. Just trust me. Just trust me. I'm going to take you some places this year. And we've seen literally, we've seen God do that in an unbelievable way. And then the Lord told us that last word He gave us. He said, the purpose, the plan, the path. He said, you need to be on my path because on my path, that's where you'll find your provision. And I say to you, church, walk God's path this year because on that path is provision. And God gave us Genesis chapter 22. Abraham and Isaac. He had walked that path many times. It was a place of worship for him. Never did he dream in his wildest dreams he'd have to offer the most precious thing. You know, it's an interesting thing if you stop and think about it. I think in that passage, I won't go there tonight just for time's sake, but in that passage it says, take your son, your only son. How many of you know God had more, I mean, Abraham had more than one son? Abraham had more than one son. Twice God says, take your son, your only son. I'll tell you, it's interesting if you think about that. It's because the one son was the son of promise. The one son was the son of promise. God remembers those things He promises. You may not have seen the full fulfillment of promises, but don't get discouraged. God remembers those things that He's promised you. God's promises. That's what He honors. And that's the place of provision. You remember, He took the son. He said, we're going to go and worship and we'll come again. And you know the story. He named that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord provides. On that path was His provision. And I say to you, Calvary Cathedral, this year, God will take you on a path. God will take you on a path. Just walk His path. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't listen to the naysayers, the gainsayers. Don't just keep your eyes on Jesus and just walk on His path. Because on His path is provision. So there's a purpose. There's a plan. There's a path that you'll walk this year. And then there's your provision. And we've seen that. And I was thinking as we were singing that, give thanks with a grateful heart tonight, I thought, Lord, never did we dream that we would come through the doors of Calvary Cathedral this year. But it has been a place of provision for us, Pastor. And it's enabled us and empowered us to go to the world and to take the gospel to the world. Literally, we've seen hundreds of thousands of people this year come to know Jesus because of your faithfulness and because of your generosity. We are eternally grateful. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Amen.
Powerful. Awesome. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Hallelujah. I tell you, we have had a wonderful year, and it's been amazing. Last year, about May a year ago, we went to Thailand, and we had been there about 8 years ago, and we're helping a pastor friend of ours do a crusade, and he was touched. This pastor pastors in Seattle, Washington, and he and his family got touched in Portland, Oregon, whenever we were with Pastor Rodney back in 1995 or 96. And his mother was healed in that meeting, and she was a Buddhist. And she gave her heart to Christ. And it shook up this neurosurgeon. And he had gone to Seattle to help plant some churches for a movement out of Bangkok. And make a long story short, whenever he got touched with the fire of God in Portland, Oregon, and his family got radically touched, he could not go back to Seattle and do what he had always done. And so when the fire of God began to fall in his church, the head back in Bangkok said, "You cannot do this. If you keep doing this, then we're going to pull your credentials and you will not have a church." So I remember back in 1999, he began to call us on the phone and he said, "What am I to do?" I said, "You're going to have to follow God." I said, "You follow God, everything you need will be in your hands." And I'm not going to say it'll be easy, but I said, "If God brought you to Seattle, Washington, to carry the fire of God to Seattle, Washington, God will meet you there." He left that denomination, and God began to bless his church. They've got a church of about 600, 700 now there in Seattle, and they're probably 70% Asian. And he called me about 8 years ago now, and he said, "I want you to help me. I want to go back to Thailand." He said, "I want to go back, and I want to carry the fire back to our people." And so we went back there 8 years ago, and there were some young musicians there. And they began to help us lead worship in those crusades. And they sang just pretty much lead and played about every other note right. And it was a very, very shaky start in the early days. But we went back a year and a half ago, 2 years ago now. And those young musicians that had helped us lead worship 8 years ago are now pastors of their own churches, and they've got churches of 500, 600, and 700 in Bangkok, Thailand. And they have raised up musicians. Oh, yeah. They have raised up worshipers and musicians that sing in harmony. I'm talking about 5 and 6 and 7 deep. And every station, bass, keyboards, guitar, and they are shaking that part of the country for the kingdom of God. Chiang Mai, Chiang Rai, Bangkok, others. I can't even name the other towns. I better stop before I get in trouble. And so in that, we just made a quick connection with Pastor Dave and Bev and said, "Hey, we're close. How about us just stopping by and saying hello?" And they said, "Oh, you've got to come." And so we went for the first time a year ago, last May, to Manila to be at that church. We were there with Pastor Rodney when they dedicated that building. It seats 8,000 people. And they were about half full back then, so probably about 3,000 or 4,000 people back then. That was 20 years ago. And when we went back May a year ago to minister there, the church is over 40,000 strong. And what happened was, as we just began to minister and we began to flow and began to play, you might want to come back to the piano because we can demonstrate here just a little bit here in a minute. But we went there and we did a few of the songs that everybody knows, like "Bless the Lord, oh my soul," you know, everybody knows that. But the moment we went to "Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God," heaven fell in the building. The same anointing that was there 20 years ago when Pastor Rodney was there, the fire of God fell. And when the fire of God fell, the praise team that was with us back 20 years ago that were 19 and 20 years of age, 25 years of age, they're now 45 years old, and they're now leaders in the church. They have raised up a music college, and they have around 250 musicians that are being trained for the glory of God. And when the fire of God began to fall, as we sang, Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. I'm hungry for a move. I heard behind me, woo, boom. And I turned around, and those that had helped us lead worship, they were our praise team, they're all on the floor. Heaven began to fall, and I didn't even get a chance to preach. Pastor Bev walked up behind me, and she said, did you know that all of their kids, there's a whole generation that has been raised up in this church that have never seen that? And I said, well, let's just begin to pray. So we just opened the altars, and we started praying for folks. And so, make a long story short, Pastor David said, would you please come back? And he said, I want you just to lead a series of revivals in our church. And while we were gone, there in Manila, they started having revival. They have five campuses. And so they would pick for one of those campuses, it's like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, once a week, once a month, they would run revival meetings in those campuses. So when we got there 6 weeks ago, they were charged and ready for revival. We're ministering in the South Campus there on Thursday night. And a little lady walked up to me. She was about 65 years of age. She walked up to me and she said, Pastor Joe, when you were here May a year ago, she said, I was one of those that came in the altar call. She said, I had cancer of the spleen and I had cancer of the kidneys. And she said, I came and you laid hands on me and the fire of God hit me. And she said, I fell under the power of the Holy Spirit. She said, I could not get up. She said, I don't know how long I laid there, but I couldn't get up. And she said, I felt the fire of God from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And she said, I finally got up and I went home. And she said, I think it was 3 weeks later, I had to go back for more blood work because then they were going to tell me how they were going to approach the cancer that was in my body. And she said, when I went to the doctor and they drew the blood and they came back with the tests, she said, Pastor, I came specifically tonight to tell you that when the doctor went and he read all the blood tests and everything, he said, he came to me and he said, ma'am, I can't understand this. I don't know what has happened, but he said, there's not one cancer cell in your body. Not in your spleen, in your kidney, anywhere. I can't explain this. She said, I grinned real big and she said, I can. She said, the Lord's touched my body. And she said, I'm whole. While we were there ministering also in that same South Campus, there were some awesome things that happened. There was a little boy on Tuesday night, 9 years of age. He was with his mom. And here's what's so cool about the church. Being there for almost, we went and spent a week there ministering in the main campus. And we do five services on Saturday and Sunday. And we touch all the different campuses and groups there in five services. We headed down to Australia for a week. And while I was in Australia, well, just before we went to Australia, Pastor Bev sent me a text. And Pastor David, he said, I want to ask you a question. He said, how flexible is your schedule? I said, well, we're supposed to be somewhere November the 9th. And I said, I don't know. He said, we want you to come back and do revival for the next 2 weeks in our other campuses. Is there any way you can do it? I said, well, let me see what we can do. And so we made a couple of phone calls. We're able to adjust the calendar. They adjusted our flights, which alone was a lot of money. And so we come back, and so we're ministering in the South Campus on a Tuesday night. The lady came on the Thursday night and told me her testimony. But on Tuesday night, we're there ministering, and And I'm beginning to learn families. Ushers, the men that are ushering and the wives are in the choir, or the wives are ushering and the men are in the choir. And so at the end of the services, when you start to lay hands on everybody, then you see who's still in their choir robes and the rest of the family comes together, you know, for prayer and all that good stuff. But on Tuesday night, there was a young boy, 9 years of age, and the fire of God was all over him. And his mom and his dad, or no, his mom and his grandmother and a sister and himself. The fire of God hit him and he was out. I mean, just, you could tell when kids, one thing about kids, they're not gonna fool you. You can't put one over the kids. When they come and they lift their hands and the fire of God touches them, it's amazing what God does in kids and teenagers. And so Thursday night, this young man, he walks back up to me and his mom said, my son's got something he wants to tell you. I said, okay. He said, preacher. That's what he goes, I said, preacher. He said, Tuesday night, he said, when you laid hands on me, he said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, preacher, he said, my daddy left us. He said, my mom is working and she's feeding us and my daddy doesn't live with us anymore. But the Lord told me if I would preach for him, that I would see my daddy come home. I said, really? He said, so preacher, I came tonight to tell you I want to preach just like you preach. And he said, I believe. I mean, you have to understand, this is a, I mean, you're watching your boy like talking about hunting and everything a while ago. I mean, they don't get very serious, you know what I'm saying? But in his childlike faith, I mean, he was just, the Lord told me, if I would preach, that my daddy would come home. So I want to preach like you preach. And I'm going to see my daddy come home. I mean, my heart broke as I watched that young man. Because I remember 11 and 12 years of age at a youth camp. Only one from my church. And I heard the voice of the Lord say, you're going to serve me all the days of your life. And then I've got one other one that I want to tell you about. We had a man come on Tuesday night. I can't remember which week. I think it was the same South Church. Or was it in the other one? Might have been East Campus. They all run together. And he walks up to me and he said, Pastor, he said, my right shoulder, I've not been able to use it. I can't lift it above here. He said, I don't know what I did to it, but he said, I can't even bathe myself. He said, I can't use it. It's useless. I said, well, let's pray. So I just began to pray for him, and I just grabbed his arm, and, you know, I didn't yank it around or anything. I just began to sing over him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. I just began to move it around. Surely he bore our sorrow, and by his stripes we are. Fell under the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Wednesday or Thursday, he comes to the meeting, and he's in the prayer line with his family. And I looked at him, I said, how you doing? He said, it's really funny you should ask me. He said, I went home Tuesday night. He said, I promise you. He said, the pain got worse. He said, Wednesday morning when I got up, he said, I almost didn't go to work because the pain was so bad. He said, I sure enough didn't want to come to church last night. And I said, but you were here. I saw you ushering. He said, yeah, but he said, I'm telling you, I was here out of just sheer will to be in the presence of the Lord. And he said, before church, the pain got worse. But he said, Pastor, he said, today, this was the last night of the meetings. He said, I was finished work. And he said, I went to just take a quick shower. And he said, before I even thought about it, he said, I threw my arm up just to soap underneath my arm. And he said, I went, wait a minute. He said, the pain's gone. He said, there's none. No soreness, no stiffness. Whatever it was, it just disappeared. He said, I came to tell you. And he said, my pain is all gone. We had things like that happen. Things like that happen. Were there any others? I was trying to think. Oh, the altar calls for salvation. In the Philippines alone, every night, there were close to 2,000 people in the, and there's no place to sit people. They're sitting. The aisles are filled with people. They're standing around the back side of the building. The front is filled with people. And so when he gave the altar call, I mean, it was like a third of the congregation would stand. There's just no place for them to go. And the fire of God would fall on them. No one touching them. They just hit the floor. Boom, out of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Just such hunger. Such hunger. They don't have Christian television to cloud their mind, to bring a cynical spirit. They're just hungry for the move of God. That's just some of them. Tonight, let me just drop four scriptures in your heart. And then I'll pray for people. For my wife and I, the mandate that's been on our heart and our life has been that we are to be carriers of the presence and the glory of God. And the Lord gave us a mandate. He said, I want you to put the heart of worship in the next generation. That's what he told us to do. And so since we left Pastor Rodney in 1999, that's what we've been doing. We went to Austin, which is our home. We have a music college, which is online. We birthed the church there, which now our oldest son pastors. But the hallmark of who we are is the sound of heaven. Whenever we work with musicians or we work with praise teams, we come to bring our part. That's all we bring. Because you see, this house is filled with wonderful musicians and wonderful singers. But what we want to see happen here at Calvary is we want to see that next generation of worshipers raised up. That this house will never ever lack for the sound of heaven in this place. That whoever stands to lead people into the presence of the Lord, they carry the sound of heaven on their voice. And the Lord has enabled us to be carriers of that sound and somehow or another to be able to impart that to the next generation. And that's the main reason why we go and do what we do. And in the midst of that, the Lord has opened the door for us to share because we understand and know that a lot of the problems, Pastor Bob, that churches have had with musicians is the fact that they don't know the Word of God. They don't understand the Word of God, and they don't understand headship, and they don't understand servanthood. And so whenever a pastor heads down a direction, they don't really know how to follow. Sometimes it's not they don't want to, they just don't know how. And all I know is that back in 1989 to 1990, when Pastor Beck and I were leading worship there at Rockwall at Church on the Rock, that Pastor Mike Hankins was so desperate for a move of God in that place with all that had been taking place that he gave us freedom. And we got hungry and we said, God, we want to come each morning, every time we lead worship, that there would be an atmosphere created in that place that whatever Pastor Mike wants to do and whatever direction he wants to go, that we're able to follow and support him in anything that he does. And while we were there serving with Pastor Mike, Rodney Howard Brown came to that church. And he was there for 6 weeks. And it was through that experience with Pastor Rodney. He had a praise team with him. He had 20-something people, musicians and everyone. But after we led worship on that first Sunday morning, when he got ready to do the meeting that Sunday night, he looked down on the front row and he said, come here. And he asked Becky and I to come, and he said, just begin to play. And he started singing songs about Jesus. And 4 hours later, 40-something songs later, he gave an invitation at nearly midnight. And then he began to lay hands on everything that moved. I don't know why. I don't know why the Lord picked us to be a part of that. But we're very grateful. We know what our part is. And that is to help usher in the presence of the Lord so that the man and woman of God can do whatever God leads them to do. That there are no boundaries on our part. No hindrances on our part. And so tonight I want to leave you with four scriptures. Because you see, worship is really not about a song. It can be, but it's not about a song. Worship is really not about a service, even though it can be a service. But worship is a way of life. The reason I love this man and woman on the front row is because they're worshipers. They're worshipers. It flows out of him. The sound of heaven. And it's not something that you learn how to do. It's a part of who you are. He talked about today at lunch about the songs he hears. There's one of the radio stations that he listens to, and it helps feed his spirit, man. But for my wife and I, worship is a way of life. For us, let me just give you one scripture, and I'm just going to drop four simple things in your heart tonight. You can be carrying these with you, and at the very last one, then we'll just take a few minutes and pray for people, and we'll let you head to be with family. But Psalm 24 is a powerful scripture. The first thing that I want you to understand to be a worshiper, you have to learn how to get your eyes off of your circumstances. Because I want to tell you this right now, circumstances change. I mean, you can be destitute in one minute and be a millionaire the next. We were in a restaurant today, and there were people in that restaurant that were, if we named their names, you would know who they are. They're people that have been a part of this community for years and years and years. But if it was money that would fix who they were, then they have enough money to do anything they want. But you see the devastation that happens and comes into families and lives when people don't understand and have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't have an intimate relationship with the Lord, and he's not a part of their daily life. A lot of people have substituted religion for a relationship. And I believe the key to who we are and what God has allowed us to do and why the Lord still pulls on what's in us is because we are worshipers. Psalm 24 in verse 1 says this, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek his face." Then verse 7, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates." One thing I love about this man on this front row, this morning he wasn't feeling very well in the natural. But what did he bring to the body this morning? He brought faith. He didn't come in how he was feeling. He came in what he knew. That's what I love about worship. Worship draws on the spirit man on the inside of us. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." I love Psalm 91. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say of the Lord, You see, you have to learn that praise has a voice. And if you just live with what you feel or what you see in the natural realm, you'll never speak what you know. That's where worship comes from. That's where a worshiping church has to go. That whenever the songs are sung on Sunday morning, they're not just words to be mouthed, but they're words to be got into our spirit, man. And we begin to speak what we know, and it begins to have an effect on how we live. You see, the enemy's biggest ploy is he wants to stop the mouth of the church. If he can close your mouth, then he can begin to bring doubt. You'll begin to hear the voices. And ultimately, we begin to head down a path of doubt and unbelief. But you see, for my wife and myself, and here's the cool thing. Now our children live like this. My grandchildren live like this. But I love this. He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. You know, I love David. David, yes, was a worshiper. He was a psalmist. He could play his instruments, but he was also a warrior. David was a warrior. Oh, hallelujah. He knew how to use the slingshot. He was an incredible athlete. He could run as fast as a deer. Come on now. He was a man's man. You know, sometimes you come to churches and the guys just kind of stand there and look at you. And, oh, I'm not going to sing. You know, that's some girly thing, you know. It's kind of girly kind of stuff. No, no, no. Real men know how to sing. Real men know how to open their mouth and declare the works of the Lord. Come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah. But I love this. The first thing you have to learn how to do is get your eyes off of what you see in the natural realm, because it changes moment by moment. But when we began to see by the Spirit and we began to lift up our heads. Have you ever been in certain places and you see people that are defeated? They roll their shoulders over and they just kind of, you know, it's like they never smile. They never want to make eye contact. But someone who's confident, they'll look you right in the eye. And they have this demeanor. They roll their shoulders back and they're confident in who they are. Come on, y'all. We need to learn who we are in Christ, and we stand with a boldness and authority. Hallelujah. So I get my eyes on the prize. I get my eyes. I change my vision. I change the way I'm looking. Who shall ascend the holy hill of the Lord? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. You see, people just don't decide they're going to mess around on their families or cheat on their business. They think about it. They figure out a way, and finally, you know, if the heart's gone there, by the time the hands go do something, the heart's been gone there a long time ago. You wonder why people, you know, once they were on fire for God, they flowed in revival, but they slowly moved from the front row to the fifth row to the tenth row to the 30th row to out the door. And they're gone. You say, where'd they go? They got their eyes off of Jesus. They got their eyes on their natural circumstances. And the enemy closed their mouth and they stopped their worshiping heart. The first thing you have to be careful of is this. You have to be sure that you keep your eyes on the prize. You get your eyes off of what you see in the natural realm. Number two. This is what I love about worship. You begin to declare with your mouth. You get your eyes off your circumstances, and then you begin to declare. If you look at chapter 34 and verse 3, this is another one of my favorite ones. The title of this message, if I had one, is this, The Cycle of Life. We all love all the Disney stuff that's out there and the Lion King and all that stuff, you know, the circle of life and all that stuff. I call it the cycle of life. You see, because the enemy wants to stop that cycle of God's presence operating on the inside of your life. And if he can stop the presence of God moving, you see, you have to learn to live in revival. I don't live waiting for the next revival. I live in revival. I'm going to have my own revival if there ain't one to go to. Becky and I have had revival many times just by ourselves in the hotel room. I'll listen to my own CDs if I have to. I'm just telling you. But I love this. Psalm 34 and verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. What do we do when we come together and we worship the Lord? I want you to worship with me. I don't want to do this by myself. It's not fun to do it by yourself. But when God's people begin to lift their voices, there is this exponential explosion of power that takes place. The atmosphere changes. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. That's what I love about David whenever he begins to declare who he is in the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 1, it says, Oh, magnify. Well, let's back up. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Then, Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. He said, I sought the Lord and He heard me and He delivered me from all my fears. I'm telling you, there's so many people today, they're afraid they're going to die. I'm serious. They walk around in fear. What's the opposite of fear? Faith. Something about singing stirs my faith. I mean, there's something on the inside of me. I come alive when I hear a good song. Like, thank you this morning. Great song. Great song. Oh, magnify the Lord. First thing you do is get your eyes off your circumstances. And the moment you get your eyes on Jesus, what do? You begin to declare who He is. I'm going to magnify You, oh Lord. Lord, Becky and I, we're going to exalt Your name together. How many of you know He praises and He worships and He sings over you? We get in agreement with what He's doing. We get in agreement with what's happening around the throne room of heaven. That's what we're doing. There's a worship service going on right now. When we close this meeting in just a few minutes, there'll be a worship service. Continue on. Continue on. Continue on. And how many of you know they haven't got tired of singing the same song? When y'all gonna learn a new song? I don't think I'll tell the master that. I'll just keep singing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. They've never changed their song. How can they do that? First of all, they were created to do it. But the awe of who He is. The awe of who He is. The awe. You see, the church has lost the awe of who He is. You know why? They got their eyes off of who He is. They've allowed the circumstances of life to cloud their eyes and to cloud their minds. So I began to magnify and declare who He is. Why do I do that? Because it's the language of heaven. It's the language of heaven. Why do we need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in other tongues? Because it's the language of creation and creator. It's the language of creation and creator. Look at Psalm 108. This is another good one right here. The cycle of life. The cycle of life. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Oh, awake! Slap your neighbor and say, wake up. No, don't slap them. Just kind of nudge them a little bit. Say, wake up. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. When I read that, you know what I see? I see a psalmist sitting there playing, and he's probably played the same little melody three or four times, and he kind of slaps himself upside the head and said, I need to play a Holy Ghost song. When I talk to musicians about this, I ask them, I said, how many of you have ever written a song and it's still on the page? It's never left the page. You know why? It's probably just your song. But those songs that are birthed by the Holy Ghost, God does something with those songs. They leap off the page. They leap off the page. And He's telling us, I believe, as believers, that we need to stir. That's why I like to just sing in the Holy Ghost sometimes. You know, sometimes you just can't get in a real big hurry. Yes, we have time restraints and things, but sometimes the people, they just need to take a big, deep breath in the presence of the Lord, like Pastor said this morning, and just sing a song in the Spirit and allow that song of the Lord to be birthed and allow the Lord to sing over you. And then let you prophesy over your own life. Come on now. That's what he's saying here in Psalm 108. He said, Lord, I will praise thee among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For your mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth to the skies. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thou, beloved, may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and answer me. You see, in the presence of the Lord is where you get your answers. People come all the time in the prayer line, Pastor, pray for me. My business is going down the tubes. And you want to say, when was the last time you got your eyes off the bottom line of the business, got your eyes on Jesus, began to declare what you know, and began to worship and pray in the Holy Ghost and allow God to tell you your next move? You see, worship is not just for Sunday morning. It's not just for an invitation. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. When Pastor Becky and I began to make transition in 2011, the first thing the Lord told us to do was get out of town. And we got in our car and we began to drive. And the moment we got still, not trying to make everything happen with the arm of the flesh and fix everything, we just got out of town and we began to drive. And the first thing that happened was the peace of God filled our car. And the next thing that happened was as we began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And then the third thing that happened was answers began to come. You see, worship is a powerful, powerful tool. The cycle of life is this. The first thing Jesus did was he came by the Holy Ghost and revealed himself to you. And we received him, and then we began to declare who he is. And then what happened? We got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And we began to pray in other tongues. We began to worship. Creation and Creator one again in the Spirit. And that's the only way you're going to make it. It's the only way we make it. And this is what's so cool. Number four, you ready? Miracles began to follow. Miracles began to follow. Pastor read it this morning, Psalm 103. I'm going to go back there because I'm telling you, it was powerful. And the Lord showed me some things, Pastor, in the midst of that this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all. Turn to your neighbor and say, all our diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth, there it is again, with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Look at this. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And then he says in verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He looked past who we were in this fallen realm. Look at this, verse 11, for as the heaven is high, get your eyes up, above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Look at verse 14. For he knoweth our frame. Come on now. He knows the hair on our head or the lack thereof. He knows the number of our days. And somehow or another, I believe he knows those of us that are going to give him the credit for every day. Come on now. Come on now. We need to understand that he sees those of us that will give him the praise that he is due. He goes on to say right here, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children. The reason our kids love the presence of the Lord is because their mom and daddy love the presence of the Lord. The reason I love the presence of the Lord is because I saw my mom and my dad walk in the presence of the Lord. I don't know how else to live. But I had a choice. I couldn't live on daddy's anointing. I had to make a choice. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, your angels that excel in strength, that do his commands, hearkening under the voice of his word. How many of you have told your angels there's some work that needs to be done? Sometimes we forget that there are angels that he has given to us and they need to be dispatched. I'm one of those. I forget sometimes, and I promise you, my angels work overtime. They work overtime. But he says, bless the Lord in all of his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All I know is this. I forgot one verse in the midst of that. Bless ye the Lord. And this is a very important one. All ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works. All I know is this. The more I praise him, the more he's pleased. The more I praise him, the more he's pleased. But the very beginning of that chapter, he said this. As you begin to worship me, he said, you have to understand something. I'm the one who took away your iniquities, your diseases. When I worship him and I get my eyes off of just the natural realm, do I have aches and pains? Absolutely. The older I get, the harder it is to fly. And the longer it takes to get turned around when you come back from 6 weeks overseas. Trust me, all of that stuff, it's just as big and just as real. But you know what I have to do? I have to declare, you know what, Lord? I'm on your path. This is your plan. I'm following your purpose. You're the one who took me there. So, Lord, I thank you, and I declare who you are. Father, I thank you that your presence is on our life. And, Lord, you are speaking, and you are giving direction. Lord, I don't know what 2015 holds, but, Lord, wherever your path takes us, there's provision. It hasn't got you off guard, and it hasn't surprised you. But Lord, more than that, there are miracles waiting. In that cycle of life, get your eyes off your circumstances. Begin to declare and speak his word. And in the midst of that, allow the Spirit of God, that language between creation and creator, to be released so that the prophetic can begin to flow through your life. And watch out, because miracles are on the way. Some of you are just a praise away from your miracle. You've had every prophet that's come through this building lay hands on you. And you wonder why the miracle has not occurred. You know what's missing? Thanksgiving. Pastor mentioned it this morning. There was only one that came back to say thank you. The other nine took their healing and left. But the one who came back and said thank you was made whole. Every finger that was missing was restored. If his nose was gone, he got it back. If he had lost an eye, it was restored. For somebody here tonight, you're just a praise away from your breakthrough. The only thing the Lord is asking for is he just wants you to give him thanks. The hardest thing in the world to do is thank the Lord before anything ever happens. I'm going to say that again. The hardest thing in the world is to thank the Lord for provision when provision's not there. The hardest thing in the world is to thank the Lord for healing when the pain has not receded. For somebody here tonight, you're just a praise away from your breakthrough. I want us just to stand our feet across this room. And I just want you to lift your hands and just begin to speak the name of Jesus. The worst thing in the world is to become ungrateful. The worst thing in the world is for a believer to become ungrateful. You know what follows ungratefulness? Bitterness. Hello. You know what follows bitterness? Strife, envy. And then you know what follows? Sickness and disease. I'm just telling you. In this Psalm, in 103, the thing that I see more than anything else is the Lord says, oh yes, oh yes, that's who I am. I'm the one who comes. I'm the one who does not forget your benefits. I'm the one who forgives you of all your iniquities, and I'm the one who heals all of your diseases. And I'm the one who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. I'm the one who satisfies your mouth with good things and renews your youth. And I'm the one who executes righteousness and justice. But let me say, all I ask of you is for your worship, for your thanksgiving. That's what he's asking for. That's what he wants. He wants our praise. For someone here tonight, because of what's happened in your life, the enemy has stolen your song. He has stopped the song, the joy. The same joy that you experienced in revival, laughter that fluttered over your soul night after night. People say, well, I don't know why, but the only time I can laugh is in revival. No. You need to come to the place to where you can rejoice at all times. That is, praise continually is upon your lips. It becomes a way of life. It's a part of your cycle of life. We're just going to open the altars tonight. We're going to allow you to come and just lift your hands. Hallelujah. We would love the privilege of just laying hands upon you. Spirit of worship to be in your house, to be in your ministry, to be in your business. Hallelujah. Just to be refreshed. We're not talking about habitual sin. We're just talking about getting our eyes off of Jesus. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't. That I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire. Just lift your hands and worship. You can sing, you can worship, you can pray in the Holy Ghost. You can just speak the name of Jesus over your life, over your family, over your ministry, over your business. Lord, we pray for a fresh wind of your Spirit to flow through this house. Oh, Jesus. Lord, these are your hungry ones. Lord, these are your faithful ones. Lord, they're always here. They're the first. But Lord, we pray. Outpouring of your Spirit. That a worship, a spirit of worship would break loose in this house. That miracles, signs, and wonders would continue to flow. People be healed in their seats. People begin to weep when they walk through the doors because of the anointing of God in this place. That revival would break out in Fort Worth. But Lord, let it begin in us. Oh, we're hungry, we're thirsty. We're hungry, we're thirsty. For more of you. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Sing it again. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't. we thank you for strength. Oh, let the fire rest upon him. Praise.
done. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry.
Hands for miracles, twice the miracles you've ever known, you've ever seen. I see a quickening, yeah, a quickening by the Holy Ghost, a quickening of the Holy Ghost.